Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5, The Fanatic. We've been running down the list of like every wide receiver in the world just to show that there are lots that are good in this year's draft class, but completely understanding that draft rankings and ratings are what they are, and they're there for a reason. It happens that, you know, the Eagles will probably take a wide receiver in the first round. I'm starting to believe that that is the case. Instead of just saying, hey, we'll see what happens, I'm believing that the Eagles will take a wide receiver in the first round. And now we'll see which wide receiver happens to be available or which move up the Eagles decide to make. I believe that a small move up is possible, certainly. And there's no doubt either that there is a large move up that has at least been discussed. So, you know, we'll see. Who knows? 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Fox Sports has made a comment. Fox Sports wishes Rob Gronkowski the very best as he returns to play in the NFL. Even though we will miss having our teammate, we cannot wait to see what he does on the field with Tom and the rest of the Bucks this season. Gronk will always have a place on our NFL on Fox team. Isn't it strange that, like, didn't he just come out and say, I'm not totally done, like, today? Like, what was that? Or did that interview just emerge today? Like, what happened?
It's a great question.
You know?
My bigger question is, what happens to his WWE 24/7 championship belt?
Oh, man.
He's got to give it up now, right?
Yeah, you're vacating, I would assume. He's not going to be able to defend it.
Well, you know the deal with the 24/7 belt, right?
No.
So the reason it's called the 24/7 belt is you literally have to defend it 24/7. So it's not necessarily like a big-time belt, but it's kind of more like a joke belt. So I was actually having this conversation with my dad the other day. He's a big wrestling guy. One of the guys named R-Truth has won the belt like 40 times because he will literally just, they do segments where he literally like drives by the champ on the street and will come up and hit him with a chair from behind and pin him, and he's the 24/7 champ.
Oh, jeez. So that was
That was Gronk's title.
Wow. So I guess this didn't happen today. It was this week. He was on Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. That he's not totally done. And then he totally flipped, obviously, to being active and Drew Rosenhaus saying that his client would be competing and fulfilling the contract and stuff like that. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. For the superhero movie fans out there, you should check my Twitter account. There's some kind of very strange pricing situation of the you have $15,
it's a horrible
build your
system.
Own thing. Yeah. There's a world where Happy Hogan and the Scarlet Witch cost the same amount.
I spent $15 just to get it to $15. I had no need to spend $15.
The minimum amount of money that you could spend to wreck everything.
I think you could spend $9.
I have $7. I have $7. We've got to discuss this.
Okay.
So you have Doctor Strange for $4.
That's a given.
That you literally go through time and stuff.
Correct.
Scarlet Witch can literally change and manipulate reality as she sees fit.
By the way, I don't want to hear any other argument. She is, without question, the most powerful Avenger.
Stronger than Doctor Strange?
Yes.
Okay. And then Vision.
For $1.
For $1.
It's theft.
Who else do you need?
So, based on this pyramid, like the 5-1, I just took one of each just to get it to 15.
Okay.
So at $3, I took Groot.
Okay.
I think he's multidimensional enough for you.
Fine.
And then at $5, you take Thor.
Obviously.
I mean, literally unstoppable.
Yes. Okay.
That's my team.
But you said you only need $9.
Correct.
So I had $7. Where's the other $2?
So Wanda for $2, Vision for $1, Strange for $4 gets you to $7.
Uh-huh.
I got to go back and take a look at it.
You got to go back and look.
Yeah, I got to take a look at
it. I didn't mean to blow you up there, but I'm like, that. My $7 goes the whole thing. And Dylan McKinnon of the Garbage Starburst Takes agrees. He says you can throw in Thor and then take Happy to drive them around.
Okay, all right. So I got my other two for the $9.
Okay, all right.
Is I am going to remove Groot to drop me $1.
Okay.
I'm taking Nebula instead.
Okay.
So that gives me the dollar back. Okay. And then, with that being said, I am also taking War Machine because he does the exact same thing Iron Man does for way cheaper.
Wow, Tony would never ever tolerate that.
I don't
that
care.
Language. Okay.
I don't. They're the same thing. It's just Tony's more well known. They're the same machine. It's nonsense that he's $5.
Iron.
You get discount Iron Man for $1.
War Machine shoots bullets.
Doesn't matter. Take War Machine.
All right.
And then I'm taking Quicksilver for $1 too.
And Quicksilver, okay. All right. Okay, that's the nine.
This is discount Avengers. We're in quarantine. We need the money.
My tweet was literally, Vision and Scarlet Witch for a combined $3 is literally designed to restart the economy with a spending rush because that's insane. It's just irresponsible.
They got down a rabbit hole of those two getting together and they're like, wait. This isn't okay. We need to get rid of one of them.
That's right. That's exactly right.
So they forcibly removed the stone from his head.
Yeah, that was a pretty brutal way to do it. Still worth $1, though. All right. Worth way more than $1. This man is one of the premier NFL reporters on the planet. Sal Palantonio, ESPN NFL national reporter. You see him on the NFL matchup show. You see him everywhere where football is discussed, and he was on with Mike Missanelli earlier today discussing the top draft prospects, and this is what it sounded like.
Let's talk about the draft and all the things that's coming on. First of all, Sal Pal, of course, the great ESPN NFL reporter, is going to be involved in a virtual draft tomorrow, the Fanatic Virtual Draft Roundtable tomorrow night with 30 listeners on Zoom, which is going to be really fun. The entries ended today at 2 p.m. Let's bring in the great Sal Pal on the Comcast Business Hotline. Sal Pal!
Michael, how's everybody?
We're doing all right, and I know this is going to be a busy time for you, so thanks for hopping on here. Tell us about the virtual draft, first of all.
Well, it's going to be me in the car, so mm-hmm. I'm really anxious. It's going to be interesting, and it's going to be on Zoom. And apparently they had hundreds and hundreds of people who wanted to be involved with this. So thank you to all the listeners of 97.5 and obviously Eagles fans. And we're going to talk about the draft. We're going to talk about the NFL season, when and if it's going to come online, how it is going to come online. We're going to take, obviously, lots of questions from people. So it's going to be a roundtable, and it's sponsored by our friends at 19 Crimes Wine.
You know, awesome. What time? Tell the people what
time. They used to Sal Pal football.
Yes,
hours.
They did.
So back in the day.
Oh, yeah, when you were hanging out at Ocean Prime. I remember those days.
Oh, yeah. Ocean Prime.
having your thick steak.
That's a spot right there. 6 to 7, as Cuz would say. That's the spot right there, Sal Pal.
Six to seven.
Yeah, tomorrow night on this great radio station, Anthony Gargano, Sal Palantonio, sponsored by 19 Crimes Wine, and we're going to do a virtual draft roundtable. First of its kind, brought to you by the great people at the pandemic.
Awesome. Yeah, we're really looking forward to this.
Yeah.
Now, I'm going to ask you some draft questions, but first I want to talk about, because the interesting part about what everybody's talking about is when sports is going to come back. And, you know, the NFL especially, because we're talking about, you know, the great Americana here, and in September we're used to having football. But there are a lot of obstacles that I don't think people are looking at. And one of them, and I know you're plugged into this, the head of the Players Association, still are really ambivalent for their players on when it will be safe to play. Give us some information on this.
Well, DeMora Smith was on a CBS podcast called Debriefing the Briefing. DeMora Smith's the executive director of the NFL Players Association. And he basically extinguished any early talk of the season starting on time. He said, quote, "I don't think anyone in our larger community should suffer simply because football players want to play football and have football proceed on time. We know that we are in a situation now where we cannot mass test the people who need it, and we have to make sure that they are taken care of first." And he said something, you know, that I have been saying to you, and I know you and I agree about this, that sports is going to be the last thing that comes online. He said football is a non-essential activity, and you start from that premise. And I think all sports are. And this is This is the tough part of this, Michael. You and I have made our living in the sports information business, but we've always said you've got to crawl before you walk, before you run. People have to be able to go back to the doctor safely, back to work safely, back to school safely, their children back to school safely. And then in my view, even though I have a subjective viewpoint here and I like sports to be part of our world, then you have to look at organized professional sports. And you know, too, Michael, when you think about it, it's, in my view, more important for kids and teenagers and youth sports to get back online before professional sports, in my view. I don't know how people feel out there, but I know I have all my entire life with either myself or my brother or my children been involved in youth sports. And that's a very, very important component. If you're going to bring schools back, kids have to be able to play, Mike. And they have to be able to do it in a safe environment. And all that has to happen first, in my view, before you can bring professional sports online in a safe way.
Yeah, and I totally agree with you. Now, the head of the Players Association is saying this, but again, it's the same old deal. It's the have and the have-nots. The haves can be a little more cautious. The have-nots look at the paycheck. So, like, are they willing to sacrifice their safety and like, outvote the other guys to... And override what DeMaurice Smith is saying?
Well, you know, there is an economic component to this. There is a major economic component to this, and we have talked about it. We're talking about multi-billion-dollar corporations that are going to be affected, and tax revenue, major tax revenue, if professional sports do not come online.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, the entire operation of you watching cable television at home is affected if sports are not part of that. So it all has to be worked out. But in my view, it's a non-essential activity for sure until you can get everything else ramped up. And you mentioned something, you know, and there is that have and have not aspect to it. And one of the things that annoys me the most is when you see these quote unquote celebrities getting on TV or radio and saying, we're all in this together. Well, you know, we're not all in this together. Most of those people are rich, and most of the people listening at home are not.
Yes.
It's a different situation. The most important thing is for people to be, you see these long lines of food banks, and I'm a big proponent of bringing back the economy quickly and safely, without a doubt. Has to happen. And it has to be rolled back as soon as possible in places where it can be. Because people will start to really, really be hurting in a couple of weeks. I'm not saying months. I'm saying weeks, Michael.
Yeah. Yeah, I get you. All right, let me just quickly steer you back to the draft here. And
we can talk about this all day long.
Yeah, sure. One of the stories that's leaking out, I don't know how true it is, that it's Judy who is sliding down because of a meniscus problem. What are you hearing out of the Eagles camp? I know it's tough to get information out of them when they're so isolated, but what do you think they're thinking right now, the week of the draft?
Here's what I know that they're thinking. I know that they're thinking that they would like to stay at 21 and hope one of these wide receivers drops in their lap or to trade out. I never thought, and again, this is something that you and I have been talking about for the last 3 or 4 weeks, that any of these wide receivers, with the possible exception, and you and I agree about this, of C.D. Lamb, is worth more than one pick. In other words, the draft value is not that high on these guys. None of these guys are absolute difference makers, with the exception of Lamb, maybe. And I wouldn't go very high in order to get him. If I thought maybe another wide receiver was going to be there. You know, there was a lot of chatter last night. One of the draft prognosticators said that the Eagles might take Brandon Ayuk, this wide receiver, another Pac-12 guy from Arizona State, coming off a core muscle surgery on April 7th, the same one that DeSean Jackson ended up needing last season. I mean, Mike, people are just throwing stuff out there now.
So you think
this guy in particular, that's just a joke. Another Pac-12 guy.
Yeah, I agree with that. I wouldn't go anywhere near him with 20. So you're saying they're going to wait in 21. If somebody falls to him of the top guys, they'll take him. If not, they'll trade out of it.
I think right now what they're looking at is they're ready for anything. But the most important thing for them is, and it's for every team in the league now, Mike.
Yeah.
There's going to be an abbreviated off season. The Eagles right now, in my view, don't have a middle linebacker. And in my view, they don't have a starting left tackle. I know they say Andre Dillard is the starting left tackle. But in my view, I don't see him as a starting left tackle. If they want to line up and play, if Roger Goodell and Dee Smith turn on the light switch, they're going to need two players in those two positions in order to line up and play. And if at 21, they have a chance to take that ferocious, speedy hit machine out of Oklahoma.
Murray.
Mm-hmm. Kenneth Murray.
Yeah.
And he's at 21, and all the other wide receivers are gone. Wow. I wouldn't fool around. I would take him. Make him your starting middle linebacker and play with him.
All right. We'll see if it happens. Sal, looking forward to the virtual draft, your work on draft day. Thanks, man. We'll talk to you next week.
Okay, my brother.
There he is, Sal Powell, Comcast Business Hotline.
So there you go, Sal Powell Antonio advocating as well for the Tyler Zuli School of Drafting, which is to say that if you're looking at maybe a secondary talent at wide receiver, that instead perhaps your attention should be redirected towards a premier inside linebacker who potentially could be sliding down towards you. I haven't really considered defensive back all that much in the first round, considering, you know, the way that the draft is projected to go. But if these things are way off and, you know, we've never been more wrong on all of these mock drafts, then perhaps a secondary help is an area where we should be looking. So there you go. Sal Powell Antonio joining Mike Missanelli on the Comcast Business Hotline. Did not sound like he was very high on the idea of the Eagles making a move for Brandon Ayuk, but did mention again that CeeDee Lamb could potentially be the wide receiver that would prompt the Eagles to make some kind of a big move. And certainly that is something that we'll be keeping our eyes on. We've been talking about it for a little while here now. So also, we haven't even talked about how many corners could potentially go in the first round. And, you know, we're looking at all of the other, like, for example, we haven't talked about Jalen Johnson from Utah. We haven't talked about Jeff Gladney much from TCU, except, you know, today with Drew Davison, I mentioned him, I think it was on Thursday, I think was the last time that I was on. And we were discussing him as well. So there are going to be some secondary players that potentially could slide down the board in the event that all of the wide receivers, there ends up being a big-time run there in the first round.
How many corners do you think end up going in the first round?
I was trying to answer that exact question.
I think I've got it nailed down to four.
You do have four.
I think so.
I can't decide if I'm going to go from three to four. So,
because Okuda and Henderson are locks.
I think those are definitely first-rounders.
Yeah. I think Gladney's still a first-round pick.
I kind of do, too.
And then the other one I would say is at the back end of the first round would be A.J. Terrell.
Right. So you don't like Jalen Johnson as a potential first-rounder?
No. The only other one that I could see, and I don't think that it's happening anymore, I think he's like a 37, 38 pick,
okay,
is Trayvon Diggs.
Worthwhile to explore that too. Yep. I he's a guy who was thought of as like in early in the draft process, like, yeah, this is a guy who's in the 20s, and he's slid down a lot of people's mock draft boards. I think Terrell's still going to be a first round corner. I think that you're right.
I do too. I think that the talent is there. The national championship aside, he's too good to not take.
He's going to end up on a good team too, because he's not going to go ahead of those other two guys. So, you know, and Gladney is, somebody's going to like Gladney too. It depends on whether, you know, Terrell goes before Gladney, which I could see, or Gladney going next, which I anticipate. If he ends up going to some team in the late 20s, he's going to end up on a good team.
I have a feeling, based on the fact that they have two picks in the late 20s, Gladney is not, I don't want to say a lock, no one's a lock.
Right.
But I think that Gladney is a surefire bet as you can get for the Minnesota Vikings.
Makes sense. Let me ask you something. What are you going to do when the draft is over?
Probably just go into my room and like cry for days.
Right. You're like...
I've been so locked into this thing with nothing else going on.
Like Mel Kiper III. Going to the cave.
Normally we have Sixers playoffs to get us through right now. Flyers would have been in the playoffs this year. I'm producing a lot of those games, so they're kind of at the forefront because I got to make sure that everything works properly and goes smoothly to run the games. The draft is something that's always in my mind because I love college football, but it's never the forefront because it's not generally priority number one around here. Usually at this time, it's the Flyers and the Sixers.
Uh-huh. Yep, as it should.
It's priority number one now.
See, like, the problem
is... 2, 3, 4, 5, and 6.
The problem is that the draft is a 3-day affair, and it's not like a 2-week affair, you know? There's not going to be enough. The 7th round's going to go... And then the undrafted free agent, feeding frenzy is going to happen. And then we're all just going to be looking at each other like, all right, what now? What's the next big thing that we've got to do?
We're truly going to end up like that meme, the guy with the stick, where he's poking it. I don't even know what it is, but he's just poking out. He's like, come on, do something. Like, that'll be us with the sports
with
world.
Sports. Man. Better get even deeper into the streaming rabbit hole than I am right now. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. We got plenty more action if you want to respond to what Sal Palantonio was discussing, or of course weighing back in on what your plans are for the Eagles draft, what occurs for you in a perfect world. All of that is available to you as we've got plenty more show straight ahead for you. 610-632-0975. Your phone number to join the conversation. And of course, we do have wide open phone lines for you. You can get in without a wait. Bruce Arians is trending on Twitter. Can't wait to see what that is all about. Assuming that it's probably about his new quarterback and some of the new weapons. We'll get to that as well. It is the Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torty on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torty Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Yeah, Bruce Arians trending on Twitter for getting every New England Patriot to defect down to Tampa Bay. Man, so they're re-airing, as Tyler pointed out, they're re-airing the 2017 NFL draft. That was the Mitchell Trubisky draft, for those who don't remember. Also, Deshaun Watson and Patrick Mahomes went at some point in those drafts, as you may remember. So there are some live tweeting of the draft broadcast, right? And think about how things could have gone differently for the Chiefs. Mel Kiper Jr. during this 2017 draft talked about how the Chiefs tried to trade up for Paxton Lynch in the 2016 draft. And now they actually traded up for Patrick Mahomes.
What?
Oh, man. You talk about a change in fortune. Had to get Paxton Lynch, couldn't do it. And then Patrick Mahomes. Wow. You talk about it's totally changing the direction that the world's spinning. Absolutely bananas. 610-632-0975. Lance in Arizona is next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Lance?
Hey, Joe. I was talking, South Palantonio, I heard the end of the conversation. I didn't hear who he was specifically talking about when he said, Pac-12 wide receiver, you don't want to go there.
Ayuk.
No offense. Ayuk, I wouldn't take him in the first round, but I don't think he's a bad player. But the fact of the matter is, the best wide receiver the Eagles have drafted in the last 20 years is DeSean Jackson. Guess where he came from?
Pac-12. Absolutely.
So this whole theory that you can't take a Pac-12 wide receiver, no. They've been bad at it lately because they've taken players that they shouldn't have gone where they drafted them. Like Nelson Aguilar, I could have told you that. I've watched enough Pac-12 football. I live out here. The best player on that team his senior year or when he came out was Juju Smith-Schuster as a freshman. And they decided, oh, we're just going to take a guy way earlier than he should have. He should have been a mid-second round pick, and they took him all the way at 20.
Yeah, it's a big difference.
And Josh Huff just saw. Like, that was a Chip Kelly special right there, because I guarantee Chip Kelly was like, I want my guy. And
yeah,
they gave it to him.
For sure.
So to say that, like, I'm not going to take Ayuk on the board. And there's a connection to Ayuk because Herm Edwards is out there at ASU. So I'm guaranteeing they're talking to Herm Edwards nonstop about that kid. So if they really like him, I'm guessing Herm Edwards is like, you're going to love this kid. And they might go that direction at 21.
Well, so there's some other, and obviously, you know, you're out there with those guys and you're watching a fair amount. But the other concerns, obviously, is that he's spent like 1 year as the man there. Didn't do well against press coverage, wasn't asked to do a whole lot against press coverage. And like, I think that those are some of the other things that Sal was bringing up, rather than just like, you can't take any Pac-12 wide receiver. I know that's some of the things that he was worried about as well.
His bigger issue with him, like, he has his yards after catch is amazing, but if you look at a lot of his yards after catch, there's no one around him. So is it scheme, or is he actually just getting that wide open?
Fair enough,
in
yeah.
that conference?
Yeah.
So to me, like, I don't think he's the best player out of that conference at wide receiver. I think it's Shanil.
Right.
Shanil's the best player out of that conference. And if he would have, the dumbest thing he did was go back for a senior year. If he would have left after his junior year, he would have been a top 15 pick, maybe even top 10, kind of like Corey Davis, where he got moved up because he was that good and he was the best wide receiver in that class. To me, like, I'm at 21. I think Jefferson's going to go before their pick anyways. I'm not moving up to do that. If I'm going to move up just to get him, I might as well just go all in and get one of the better guys if I'm moving up to probably 16 where you have to go to get him.
Gotcha.
Because you're going to have to jump. So, and then I look at the Eagles this way with the draft. You can't afford to give up picks when you have so many holes on your team. You just can't do it. You put yourself in this position by poor drafting over the last couple of years, and you didn't go out and sign a free agent at wide receiver. Like, if you would have signed Robbie Anderson, you could have been like, you know what, we could trade back and risk the fact that somebody doesn't draw.
Right.
Now you can't do that because you didn't. You put all your eggs in that basket, so you better hope. And I think the pick is going to be, if Jefferson's off the board, I think it's going to be Rieger. It makes the most sense. He's the guy that they need speed-wise to do it downfield. That's the guy that makes the most sense to me at this point.
Well, we were just talking, and thanks for the phone call. Appreciate it, Lance, to Drew Davison, of the Fort Worth Star-Telegram, and he believes, based on what he's seen, that Rager's going to be a star at the NFL level. But I'm not putting words in Drew's mouth. That was kind of like the representation.
Well, I mean, the comp that he gave us was Tyreek Hill.
Yeah, and Tyreek Hill, if he's not a top five receiver, he's certainly a top 10 receiver in the NFL, right? So that would qualify for me as star status. Look, I get that, you know, it'd be straight. This goes back to what we were talking about. Knowing what direction and what order people are going to go in is different than knowing who the players are, right? So if Rager is the second or third best wide receiver in this class, and there are five wide receivers that go before him or four wide receivers that go before him, that's not the Eagles' problem, right? As long as they know that, you know, he's the guy and he's going to be an impact player, it doesn't really matter. What matters is that you get the player. So if it's Rager, fine. But you just better be sure, because that's kind of a big risk. It's a big risk when you're looking at different players going in different draft slots that go against quote-unquote conventional wisdom. It makes you look really smart or really dumb, depending on which way things go. Depending on whether you're right or wrong. Going with conventional wisdom can be safe sometimes, but it also doesn't necessarily convey the greatest results for you. I'm so curious to see how... We'll never be able to see the Eagles draft board unless somebody makes a mistake at home, which I hope that that happens, that somebody makes a mistake at home and we get a lot more information than we should get. But I doubt it. I guess the proof will end up being in the pudding, even though with every single draft pick, the Eagles press conference is going to be like, we got our guy. You know, that's going to be
It's not going to matter who they take. That's their guy.
That's exactly
Unless they willingly trade down.
Right.
Then they could say, well, our guy was off the board, so our next guy was player whom we drafted at 29 or 30 or whatever it might be.
I'm always fascinated by an argument, and I'm sure that we could find it on YouTube or something like that, but I wouldn't even know where to direct you. But there was an argument between Todd McShay and Mel Kiper Jr. about overdrafting and underdrafting guys. And the meat of the conversation was Todd McShay saying that if you like a guy at 18, or then you should be okay with drafting him at like 14 or 13 or whatever, because either way, he's not going to be around the next time that you have an opportunity to draft him. And Mel Kiper Jr. on the other side was looking at it like every draft pick is so valuable and every draft slot is so valuable that, you know, taking guys in the wrong spots and in the wrong positions will ultimately weaken your team and stuff like that. It was pretty much about like whether a reach is a real thing. And if it is, like how many picks does it take to merit a reach? And I thought that was a fascinating conversation to look at. And the reason why is because, like, let's pretend that the Eagles have evaluated Michael Pittman Jr. Let's just pretend that, okay? They evaluated Michael Pittman Jr. to be the best wide receiver, period, in the draft. I'm not reporting that or saying that at all. I'm just saying pretend, right? That's the case. And they've projected Pittman Jr. to go 60th in the draft. Does it make sense for them to take him at 53? Is that a reach at 53 if he's expected to go at 60? Should they be trying to wring every last draft pick they can out of trading back into the exact right spot to get a guy? Are you running the risk that someone will jump over you to get him? Fascinating discussions on draft strategies and stuff like that. Because I know that a lot of people who are conducting mock drafts and who are going through these draft simulators and stuff, the trade down is a very attractive and common option. But it does kind of discount the have-to-have-it factor for individual players. And if you think about how many really, really excellent players there are in a draft in any single given year, how big it is for a team to get one of those guys. Especially if the draft is weak. This draft is not weak, but like looking at that 2013 draft that we were doing on Thursday or Sunday, whenever that was, that finding the good player when everyone else is getting bad players or not as useful players as you could get, just so massive. And the advantage that it gives you versus getting a big win in free agency or getting a big win when it comes to a trade, the advantage of nailing a draft pick is so much greater. That's why I would argue that the priority should be weighted much more heavily towards drafting. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. So here's the update. It went from Gronk talking about maybe coming back on that Andy Cohen show, that Watch What Happens Live with Andy Cohen. Said, I'm not totally done. And then today at 12:48 p.m. Pacific, he had the conversation with the Patriots that he's interested in returning to football to play with Tom. Then there was another update at 1:22 Pacific time that got it done. So that means that the report came out. Well, let's see. So that would be like 3:50 our time, right? 3:50 our time. And then by 4:22, it was done. Oh, man. That came together really quickly.
24-second news cycle. It's where we live now.
That's, my goodness, man. Tom Brady, Rob Gronkowski, and Gronk told Jay Glazer, I'm back. I always said that when I have that feeling and it feels right, I will be ready to take the field again. And I have that feeling I'm ready. That escalated quickly. 610-632-0975 is your phone number to join the conversation. Okay, coming up. We've got one final segment. We will talk to Brian, who will lead us off. We'll take a walk around the show. And then one more thing is fantastic today. How to not succeed at shoplifting. All of that.
Generally speaking, it's get caught.
Oh, but there is a way that you can get caught that is just, it's just like the perfect possible way that you could get caught. That's coming up. It's the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
Joe Torti on 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
97.5 The Fanatic.
Welcome back, Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic. Hanging out until 10 o'clock, Tyler Zuli producing. The interaction on Twitter has been fascinating. So people are talking about like the trading of Gronkowski after he was retired. Pretty much the concept is that he was owed, what, $9 million this year?
I think it's like nine and some change.
Yeah, that would have all counted cap, effectively. Just about $10 million on the cap. Patriots don't have it. So a trade is what had to happen. And it did. It came together in like half an hour, which makes me feel better because it was longer than the LeSean McCoy, Kiko Alonso trade, which apparently was like a 6-minute conversation.
Not a surprise. I mean, looking back, especially not a surprise. I think for a lot of people, what people want to understand is this is very similar to the Carson Palmer situation. It's really just to prevent players from who are on bad teams being like, yeah, I'll sit out a year and then go sign with the Super Bowl contender.
Exactly. Wait out your contract. Exactly right. 610-632-0975. Brian in Northeast Philly's next on The Fanatic. What's going on, Brian?
How's it going, guys?
Going great. How are you?
All right.
Good.
Can't believe the draft's already a couple days away now. But just feels like for the Eagles, we're kind of settling into a spot where we had a little bit more ambiguity before when we were picking like where we were going to go.
Mm-hmm.
Kind of feels like at this moment, I mean, with signing Slay and Nickell Robey-Coleman, they're not probably going to move the secondary and Mills moves to safety.
Mm-hmm.
They got some D linemen, but they haven't addressed the offense, the offensive line. And I still think we could use an edge rusher. So draft-wise, I hope that they take Queen over Kenneth Murray. I think Queen, I'm not saying he's like Luke Kuechly, but, you know, like a fast linebacker, travels sideline to sideline, just a tackler with instincts where like Murray, I feel like he can be more like a Darren Lee from Ohio State from a few years ago, just relying solely on his talent. And then at the next level, it's not enough. As for receiver, I'm not that high on Denzel Mims. I feel like he's like the next coming of Breshad Perriman, like great athletic profile, tall and fast, but not really much in the NFL. And I do think Justin Jefferson's good, but I guess for the Eagles draft, what I would say is that I think the receivers kind of line that first tier, that lottery picks up to like pick 15 or so.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think we're going to get any of those three. If we don't trade back, I'd like them to go Queen. And then I think Jalen Reagor would be the correct pick there. Like if you're going to go speed, he's your guy. I mean, he didn't have great quarterback play and he was still balling with the TCU Horned Frogs out there. And I mean, Wentz did it with no receiver over 500 yards. So I don't really think receivers that big of a need or, you know, urgency spot that many people think it is.
So a trade up is not in the cards for you in this case, Brian?
Nah, I mean, like, I like all those guys, and I think Jefferson and Judy kind of like slot immediately as slot receivers that can just walk right into the position. And I love Lamb too, but like, I'm not head over heels about any of these guys. I still see Jeffrey and Deshaun, at least hypothetically, going into the season on the outside. Mm-hmm. So it's like, we talked all last offseason about the rapport of Deshaun Jackson and Carson Wentz. I mean, they're still under contract. So to me, it's like, if we're not going to trade those guys or move on, I mean, we got to at least assume those guys will be there. And, you know, that's why maybe I like Rager in the second round, maybe taking a little bit of a backseat to the receiver position.
Sure. Brian, thanks for the phone call, man. I hope that you're well, and it makes a lot of sense. That is a way that they could go. I don't know that the trade-up is the best way to move about things. I truly don't. But, you know, it could happen. There's interest. There's going to be an idea that he could, Howie Roseman could fall so in love with one of these guys, specifically CeeDee Lamb, that a big move up happens. But I know that people don't like hang in there and wait, but I'm checking out a mock draft for 2021. And Tyler, understanding full well this will not be acceptable to people. Justin Ross goes fourth, wide receiver from Clemson. Jamar Chase goes seventh.
Oh, this is next year.
Yeah, next year.
Okay, I was going to say, I don't know that name in the draft.
Hanging in there and waiting till next year. Jamar Chase, wide receiver LSU at seven. Jalen Waddle, wide receiver Alabama, going 10th. Devontae Smith, wide receiver Alabama, going 14th. That's four in the top 14.
And they won't be picking there.
No.
At least they shouldn't be picking there.
No. Then the second half of the first round, according to this one mock draft, Seth Williams, wide receiver, Auburn. Kellen Mond. Is he going to be a first-round pick?
Talent-wise, he could be. I just need to see something more from him this year at A&M.
Tamorian Terry, wide receiver, Florida State, 26. So long story short, there's a million first-round wide receivers that are at least in the conversation for next year.
Please tell me, for my sanity for the next 12 months, that Micah Parsons is somewhere in that first round.
Oh, man, I should just let you cook. I should just let you cook. I should just let you figure it out or not know. Let me take a look back through here, so that I can investigate for you. Do this Googling. Let's see if he's on the first page. Uh-oh. I don't think I see him in the top 15.
That's pain.
I don't think I see him in the top 15. Oh, no. I'm so sorry. Your poor Penn State life. What is happening? Is he in the back half, ending up on a good team and killing people?
That'd be great.
Let's see. Uh-oh. According to Walter Football, I'm not seeing it.
That's a sham.
Oh, wait, no. Here he is, 29. He made it. 29. You know who they have picking 29?
San Fran?
The Philadelphia Eagles.
Oh, good.
This works.
Oh, good. So the Eagles are going to lose in the NFC title game this year. Wonderful.
All right, here we go. It is time for the often imitated, never duplicated, the one, the only, one more thing.
But there is one more thing.
You know how we always say that Florida man is always up to no good? Well, Nebraska decides that they want to get in on the action. Hello. According to the Omaha World Herald, a Nebraska man completed a job application on Monday. And this is an interesting tie to our show here. At a Scheels Sporting Goods store in Omaha, Nebraska, and proceeded to steal a $40 bottle of St. James of London cologne from the store. Unreal, right? It took about 5 minutes Monday for store detectives to determine the name, address, and phone number of the man. They say walked out of the Shields Sporting Goods store at Village Point without paying for a $40 bottle of cologne. Loss prevention manager told police that while reviewing the surveillance video of the incident, he noticed the man had completed a job application. The man's name, age, phone, and place of residence match information police had gathered during numerous earlier arrests. The still photo also matched the 20-year-old's mugshot. Wait, it gets worse. While police were in the process of trying to look for this guy, he showed up for the job interview 4 hours later. The Shields employee alerted the police of his hard-to-believe return to the store. They showed up to arrest him. They searched his car, found the cologne bottle in plain view, also found a pipe and a, quote, large bong. Oh, my goodness. What is going on? Like, is that the worst? Tyler, you said stunningly that you have a story that
Nope, that one wins. Mine is relative, and okay. I will tell it to you, but that one wins.
Okay, got
all
it.
Right, so I was also a sales associate at a particular sporting goods store.
Yes.
I won't throw them under the bus, but I was in high school. You know, it was a job. It was a high school job. That's all it really was.
Uh-huh.
We had very strict rules that we were not allowed to, as the associates, interact with someone that we believed was stealing.
Okay, so
until they made it past a certain point in the store, like past the registers.
Got it. Okay.
Which, by the way, at the time, the registers were up against the front wall.
So
like they just walked
away.
Out the door.
Yeah.
So this guy, the classic move at this particular store was get a gym bag and fill it all up and then just walk out. That was like the classic move at my store.
Okay.
So this guy does just that. Books it out the store. So security comes, you know, the alarms go off,
yeah,
right?
Yeah.
This guy was found no more than 15 minutes later because he was sitting on a bus. The bus had no driver. The bus was stopped with, like, it was a driver change, I think.
And he's just hanging out on the bus.
And he was just waiting for the bus to go.
Wow.
So the security stepped on and grabbed him and brought him back to the store. And that might be one of the dumbest individuals I've ever met.
I think that's in that same stratosphere as returning with the job application. I don't think that's that far
I
off.
Would have killed to be on that bus watching him with his bag, like, you know, he's got this
seasoned
grin on his face thinking he got away, and the bus just never moved.
Jeez. Oh, well, there you go. A very shoplifting themed one more thing. Just to kind of brighten your day on this 21st. Of April. That's going to just about wrap things up. Thank you very much to Drew Davison, who did a great job for us and joined us earlier today to discuss TCU prospects. Thank you very much to Drew. Thank you to all the callers and tweeters, co-host for the evening. Thank you to Tyler Zuli, who did acceptable work as per his normal standard. I will be back on the airwaves on Thursday for our draft special. Pat Egan, I'm stuck with him. But Tyler, you promised that you're hanging out to keep.
Yeah, assuming you guys don't kick me out.
Yeah, we'll see what we can do. Everybody have a great one. I'll talk to you later. It is the Joe Torti Show, 97.5 The Fanatic.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Picking five of Carrie Underwood's best music videos was no easy task. But after some debate, we landed on five we believe rise to the top. Did Carrie's 2014 hit Something in the Water make our top five? Find out when you text Carrie to 45911 and scroll through the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Carrie to 45911 to get your eyes on our favorite Carrie Underwood music videos.